It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
Boxing with Chris Mannix is presented by FanDuel. Football season is here, and there's no better place to get in on the action than with FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel always has exclusive offers. When you win, you'll get paid fast. FanDuel has a lot of ways to play, like the spread, money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting. Combine multiple bets from the same game in a same game parlay and try out same game parlay plus. So use the promo code BOXING and download the FanDuel app today to make every moment more this football season.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
So I've seen some bad takes in my lifetime. This one might be the worst. BoxingScene.com headline. Sergio Mora backs Canelo to win, but doesn't rule out upset by Golovkin.
No, it sounded worse.
Fuck is that?
But if you read it, it was actually a great article written. It's a terrible title. Terrible title. Great article, though.
Could you straddle the fence anymore?
No, that's what I mean what I said. They just wrote it wrong. The title was totally wrong, but the article was great.
All right. Sergio Mora is here. Former junior middleweight champion, DAZN broadcaster, contender winner about 100 years ago. We're going to get into the heavyweight division today, from Deontay Wilder's formally announced return to Andy Ruiz's fight to the rebuilding of Anthony Joshua. We'll also take some of your questions you submitted on social media. Later in the show, Andy Ruiz will be here. He's back in action against Luis Ortiz this weekend. And Nick Young, remember him? The former NBA guard is joining the boxing ranks, taking on rapper Blueface on the Social Gloves card in LA on September 10th. Sergio Mora, I know you are excited about that.
Look, unless I'm going to face one of these guys, I'll get excited. Other than that, clown show continues going from town to town.
You just walked in and said you worked 10 rounds today.
I did. I hit the back 10 rounds. I felt great. But of course, the back doesn't punch back.
Correct. All right, let's start with Deontay Wilder. I was at the press conference in New York to announce Deontay Wilder against Robert Hellenius. Deontay Wilder and Robert Hellenius weren't there because Hellenius is still having visa issues and Wilder missed his flight. But both of them spoke. Wilder's interesting, Sergio. He's going to be 37 years old in October. And during his press conference, he made it pretty clear that for a long time after the loss to Tyson Fury last year, he wasn't really into coming back to boxing. He had to kind of be pushed into it in a way. You know, when Tuscaloosa gave him a statue, he said that appealed to him. But he's coming back, and he's facing Robert Hellenius. So what are your expectations? What should be expectations for Deontay Wilder in this second tour of duty in boxing?
You know, there's a saying. You talk about Alabama. There's a saying down south, he thinks who he is. You know, and that's Wilder right there. He thinks who he is. He believes he's the hardest puncher, baddest man on the planet. And he came a long way, Mannix, for starting boxing late. Bronze medalist at the Olympics. He was a heavyweight champion, one of the hardest punchers in the history of boxing. He came a long way with limited ability. The only thing he really has is a big right hand. Other than that, he doesn't have much. He's not a smart jabber. He doesn't have any upper body movement or defense. He doesn't have any footwork. But you can outbox him for 11 and a half rounds. He catches you with one right hand, it's over. So he came a long way with his ability, but even a long way from Alabama, from where he came from. You know, I mean, he made millions of dollars, life-changing money, generations from now to come. He has a statue in his hometown. Dude, that's a long way with limited ability. This is a success story. So whatever this man says, whatever he says he's going to do, guess what? You got to believe him. Because he's the type of fighter, he's the type of man that he thinks who he is.
Well, I don't disagree with you.
He thinks who he is.
Well, okay. I would have believed that before the Fury trilogy. Because before that, Sergio, he was hungry. And you know that as well as anyone, what it means to be hungry. Like, you were hungry coming up the ranks. You had to fight for little money. You had to get on the contender, get the exposure, get the Forrest fight, do all the things that you have to do when you're a young fighter and you have something to prove. As you said, he has nothing to prove anymore. He's already won in boxing and in life. He's financially set for life. He still lives in Alabama. Like, you get a lot of money for your buck in Alabama. So he doesn't have anything left really to gain in the sport. And that's my question, Sergio. What happens when a fighter doesn't have the same hunger they did in the past? It's not the same situation, but you remember Tyson towards the end? When Tyson would do these post-fight interviews after getting starched by somebody, and he'd be like, you know what? I'm only doing this for the money now. Right. I don't really have the same passion anymore. That's what worries me about Wilder. He's not coming into these fights with the same level of intensity, the same preparation, the same desire he once did.
He's also not going to be coming with an opponent like Tyson Fury. He fought the best heavyweight in the world. That's very difficult to look good against. Other than that, he starched everyone in front of him. So I think he goes back to his knockout ways, get his confidence back, build him back up. He'll get another title shot because he's popular enough. He's a former champion, and he knocks everyone out. So he's still an attraction, and that's the reason he's coming back, because he accomplished so much, and he started late in his career, so it's not like his body is damaged. He started boxing at, what, 18 years old? You know, so his body
maybe
is fresh.
Actually even later, I think.
His body is fresh, man. So I'm with him. I think he can go a long way, not only because he started late, but because he has that magic eraser. He can knock anyone out in front of him. He doesn't use his legs. He doesn't need his legs. He can plow his way through.
Well, you say he's fresh, and I don't disagree with you there, but he also just went 30 rounds with Tyson Fury, the last 18 of which were absolutely brutal for him in the last two fights. I mean, that takes something out of you too, right?
It does, but you know, those are two beatings by one man. Well, actually, one and a half of a beating, because that first fight was actually, two and a half? Damn,
well,
three
fights.
Well,
the first fight was good, competitive.
It's three
no
fights.
No knockdowns.
That's what
the
I'm getting at.
The second fight was a beating,
right,
and then
the third
fight was
worse. A beating, and the third fight. So two and a half fights of a beating.
It's good beatings there.
Yeah, but that's by one man. So I think he should just move on from those beatings. And if he goes back to knocking guys out, get that confidence back, every fighter from Rocky Marciano to Rocky Balboa, well, not Rocky Marciano, but Rocky Balboa. Mm-hmm. He'll come back with the eye of the tiger, get some knockouts in, get the popularity back, and he's back.
Well, I think he's got the right opponent in front of him on October 15th. I mean, Robert Hellenius is the perfect comeback opponent. He's credible because he's got the back-to-back wins over Adam Kownacki, but he's also vulnerable. He's 38 years old, and in the last few years, he's been knocked out by Gerald Washington. He was knocked out by Johan Duapas. Deontay Wilder should knock him out if he's anything close to that. If he's not, we'll learn in that fight. Look, the pathway for Wilder to have this second reign that he keeps talking about is there. Like, he beats Hellenius. There's a chance that a fight against Andy Ruiz, if Ruiz beats Ortiz, is for a vacant title. Like, it's certainly possible if after Fury and Usyk do what they do that those two guys could fight for a title. So there's a world championship potentially on the table. And on paper, I favor Deontay Wilder against Robert Hellenius. On paper, I favor Deontay Wilder against Andy Ruiz. Like, I think he's still very much able to be a top guy in the division. He's just got to want it, though. I mean, you got to be able to relate to that. Like, at some point, you stopped wanting it as much as you did early in your career, right?
Satisfied. It was never an issue about complacency or not being hungry. It was an issue of distractions, and that has nothing to do with hunger. It just has to do with you know, life. You know, you got to juggle life outside of boxing, and then, you know, distractions get in the way, and this is where mental issues come around. And
is that what we're calling Caesar's Palace right now, a distraction?
You know what? Caesar's Palace was a good time. And what good is getting to the top of the mountain if you can't enjoy the fruits of your labor?
I would have loved to have known you back then to see what you were doing at that point.
No, but listen, I think you're right on point with the Hellenius fight and the Andy Ruiz fight. But I'm going to tell you one thing, man. Both those fights are going to be difficult, especially the Ruiz fight if it ever happens. But Hellenius is going to give Wilder some issues. I'm telling you right now. He's coming off a really successful win versus a tall fighter. Tall fighters that are, you know, freakishly tall, 6'6" plus, they're not accustomed to fighting another fighter that's 6'6" plus. They're accustomed to having the size advantage. So whenever you get a big man fighting a big man, they're not accustomed to it. Kind of like a southpaw is unfamiliar with fighting another southpaw. It's awkward. I think Hellenius is going to have some moments. He might even shake up Wilder. That's going to be a better fight than expected.
I don't disagree. I just can't get past how Hellenius was stopped by Gerald Washington. Like, I know Gerald Washington
big
hit a
man,
little bit, but
6'6" plus, big right hand.
I'm just saying, if Deontay is Deontay, he lands that big right hand and puts Hellenius out. So I think we'll learn a lot about Deontay Wilder in that fight. But look, boxing's good to have. Boxing's better with Deontay Wilder in it. I'm rooting for him to get back into the mix. All right, we mentioned Ruiz a couple of times. He's back this weekend facing Luis Ortiz. Fox Sports pay-per-view, our good pal Brian Kenny, back in the boxing mix.
Shout out BK. What up, BK?
You're still scared of BK.
I miss him.
You're terrified of him. this feels very winner go home-ish to me, Sergio. Ortiz, it definitely is because, I mean, he's officially in his early 40s. God knows how old he actually is. And Andy Ruiz, while younger and having the ability to come back, if he drops a fight to Luis Ortiz after having not fought since May of 2021 when he beat Chris Areola, and before that, having not fought since December of 2019, it feels like he's done, at least as a top fighter. Is this feel like a win-or-go-home fight to you?
Every fight is a win-or-go-home, so that's just the wrong way to phrase it.
No, it's not.
Because it's every fight is make or break. Every fight you're one punch away from retiring, from getting hurt, from a lot of bad things happening. So you're one fight away from retiring, going home, or getting beaten up. So every fight is important. But for Andy Ruiz, I don't think it's win or go home. I think it's win and go back to undercards and build your way back up and see if you have the hunger to get back to the main event and get back to the heavyweight championship. So I don't think it's go home. I just think it's get relegated. So that's all it is. Now, when it comes to Luis Ortiz, it's win or retire. How old is Luis Ortiz?
I have no idea.
You know what Luis Ortiz reminds me of? That barbershop scene in Coming to America when they're talking about Joe Louis. Joe Louis was 75 years old, 76 years old. That's Ortiz right there. No one knows who he is. And these fighters from Cuba, you know, they can't provide their real birth certificate.
He's officially listed as 43 years old.
There you go. 43.
I'm skeptical of that.
I think he's very skeptical
older.
As yeah. well. So look, I don't believe
have
that.
Have you seen some of the memes of Ortiz out there, like next to Jack Johnson? Like
people there you showing, go. Stuff like that. He's next to Methuselah somewhere.
He's out there. It's definitely win or go home for Luis Ortiz.
For Ortiz is win or retire. Forget home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You but know? Like Andy Ruiz is 32 years old. It's just going to be, you're right, he would have to go back to undercards. It's going to be real tough for him to climb back up the ranks, though, isn't it? I mean, it's just tough to do that.
I don't think it's going to be tough for him to climb the ranks. It's whether he wants to climb up the ranks. I mean, he's already made tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all good. He's going to be just fine. If he wants to make more money, that's all it's going to be about. If the opportunities to make money are there, the hunger is going to be there whether he's making money or not because he's a fighter. He doesn't want to get beat up or lose bad. But if the money's there, I think he's going to be just fine.
I still want to see Andy Ruiz against Deontay Wilder. That's a great fight.
Man, that would be a huge fight. Pay-per-view will do great numbers. You could put that fight in LA, in Las Vegas, you could put that fight in Madison Square Garden. No matter where you put that fight in the United States, it's going to be a marketable, profitable fight between two polar opposites and two different backings, two different genres of fans. Great fight. I would love to see that fight. Are you kidding me? Mexican Rocky versus a Bronze Bomber? The promotion alone in that fight will be great. Yeah, amazing. I hope it happens.
So he's got to get past Ortiz first. Who do you favor in that fight?
No, I like Andy Ruiz, the fast hands. I'm always going to favor speed over power or size. Andy Ruiz has some of the fastest hands at heavyweight. Mm. He has a chin. So even if Ortiz lands that big right hand like he lands on many of his opponents.
Did you have questions? You saw against Chris Areola. He got knocked down in the second round.
Yeah, it was kind of a flash.
I took a shot.
It was a flash knockout. He wasn't hurt. I mean, you could see that his eyes were there. He got back right. He was more embarrassed and sheepish from getting up. And no, he wasn't hurt. He takes a big punch, man. I mean, look at the punches that Joshua landed on him.
I agree with you there.
Those are huge shots. It landed flush. This guy got up like Superman. So.
I think Andrew Ruiz is going to be careful in this fight. I don't think he's going to come in there and try to brawl with Luis Ortiz. I think he's going to try to box him, use his hand speed. It is interesting, though. He's now on his third trainer. Like, he had, obviously, Manny Robles for a long time. Then he went to Eddie Reynoso. Now he's left Eddie Reynoso. His reasoning is very similar to what Ryan Garcia said. Like, Eddie Reynoso doesn't really have time or didn't have time to train him in the way he needed to be trained for this fight. Is that a concern for you, being in your third trainer in three fights?
Who's he with now?
He is with, what is it, Osuna, I want to say? I can look it up.
There you go. If you don't remember his name, yes, I'm concerned.
It's not a big name guy.
I'll tell you what it comes down to it.
Alfredo Osuna.
Never heard of him. Who has he trained?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You're Mr. Never Leave Your Trainer.
Yeah.
I worship at the altar of Dean Campos. I'll go back to him when it's time for Jake Paul to kick my ass.
Hey, listen, if you ever interview and have the great Sunisa Estrada on your show, she'll tell you the exact same thing. Dean Campos is the most underrated great trainer in boxing. But look, I don't know, man. It's a tricky slope.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Good fight this weekend on Fox Sports pay-per-view. Let's talk about Anthony Joshua. Eddie Hearn's been talking about Joshua entering the rebuilding phase of his career, which is supposedly going to begin in late December or early January. What's the rebuilding phase look like for Anthony Joshua? What should it look like? Eddie Hearn's talking about like a world tour now, you know, going from the UK to China, back to the US. He's mentioned names like Zhang Zhilei. He's mentioned Dillian White as potential future opponents. What do you think the rebuilding path is for Anthony Joshua?
Easy. Win, baby. Get back to winning. This is a man that was knocking out everyone they put in front of him. Gold medal. He was a stud. He was in commercials, making millions of dollars, filling out stadiums. Then he gets upset by Andy Ruiz, this fat, chubby Mexican unknown. But see,
Andy Ruiz, by the way, calls himself a fat, chubby Mexican all the time.
Hey, listen.
He did it on my interview with him
today. Listen. When I was in boxing, I was a fat, chubby Mexican. So
you've weighed the same thing for like 25
but
years.
But I've gained 30-plus pounds.
When?
When I lost my title against Forrest.
Yeah, but that was alcohol, and you took it off within 6 weeks.
It was fine food and fine wine.
It was alcohol. Okay, that's I don't the same drink thing. Beer. It's alcohol. I didn't say it was like beer.
I'm bougie, bro.
You're not.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Anthony Joshua rebuilding. Joshua.
Yeah, so get back to knocking people out, man. Get back to feeling good in front of people again, the bright lights, the stadiums. You know, no matter where he goes, he's still going to be popular. He's still going to be that pretty boy that can knock people out. All they need to do is put the right opponent in front of him. The last thing you want to do, look, I understand the Andy Ruiz fight because he got upset by an unknown 2 weeks before the fight. Or how many weeks before the fight? Two, 3 weeks?
See, no, it was 6 weeks. It was when Miller got tested positive. Five, 6 weeks. It was still a short period of time.
Short period of time. Last minute replacements. I've been there before. They throw you off psychologically. Okay, that one we could sweep under the rug. He got his title back. Usyk wasn't not a mistake. He will never beat Usyk 10 out of 10 times. That was just bad matchmaking. They should have never put him up against Usyk. Joshua should have avoided Usyk like Canelo avoided Erislandi Lara for so long. He didn't have to fight him. A lot of people
Canelo
were calling
didn't avoid Lara. Well, he was the only guy to fight him.
Avoids maybe the wrong word, but he didn't want to fight him.
He fought him right after Mayweather, two fights after Mayweather.
Yeah, but Lara was calling him out way before that. He still fought Lara.
We didn't have to.
Look what happened. He almost lost, and that was for a good reason. So I just think that's exactly what should happen with Usyk. Joshua should not have fought Usyk. Usyk would make anybody look bad. I don't care who they put in front of him. It could be King Kong, and he'll find a way to make him look bad. That's just how brilliant of a boxer he is, especially at heavyweight, where heavyweights don't have that footwork.
Yeah.
They don't know how to cut off the ring. They don't know how to fight like smaller men. You know, so Usyk's going to be a headache for any fighter because he's just that damn good. And the fact that he has that Olympic gold medal, you know, past, and the fact that he's a southpaw, the fact that he comes from that Ukrainian school of mentally strong and physically in shape, and they're scientific. Way too much of a headache. Just wrong matchmaking. They should have just avoided him like the plague. Or after that one loss,
losses. Why do you want everybody to be avoided? You want to avoid everybody.
Because that's how you maintain a career, man. That's how you it longevity over fighting everyone they put in front of you. This is a career. This is a man that became a heavyweight champion, made millions of dollars. Usyk. They gave him a chance. He cleaned out the cruiserweight division, and he still wasn't making the money he's making now. Because Joshua gave him that opportunity. Now Usyk's the man, you know, the heavyweight champion. He's the man now. But it was because Joshua gave him the opportunity. I just think, looking back in retrospect, you know, they should have just avoided him.
All right, back to the path, though, back, because that's said and done. I think in December or January, you fight whatever stumble bum you can put in front of him. I mean, like, let's dust off Dave Allen for a fight like that. What's Junior Fa doing right now? Let's get him in the ring with Anthony Joshua. Like, anybody that he can go step in front of and blast out of there. And then I like the idea of a Dillian White fight next year. I mean, Dillian White is he's on that same level of kind of being... not washed, but like
that's kind of why I wouldn't, because of the
wash. But it's still a sellable fight in the UK. That's a huge stadium fight. Make a lot of money off that. Why wouldn't you want that?
You know, Dillian White's always fun to watch. Yeah, I'm on board with that.
And they hate each other, or at least they say they hate each other.
He's always fun to watch. He could be marketable. He has the name recognition. The only thing he doesn't bring to the table is that he's never won a world championship. So he'll be beating a contender. So it just doesn't have that.
But you're not at the championship level with Joshua at this point. I mean, the titles won't be resolved until the middle of next year.
I get it, but you still want to be facing another former champion.
I mean, you want to call... I mean, he had the interim title for a minute and a half, the WBC interim title.
Hubcap.
Well, whatever. I mean, but you're not looking for a title right now if you're Joshua. The White fight is a mass... Here's the what I would do. If I was Eddie Hearn, I'd pick Dave Allen type in December. I'd do Dillian White in the first quarter of 2023. I would then hope that Zhang Zhilei beats Derek Chisora, which he would, in a fight, and I would do Zhang Zhilei versus Anthony Joshua in Beijing or in Macau, whatever has the most money.
I usually despise the thing that spews out of your mouth when it comes to matchmaking and promotions.
Okay. Well, that's hurtful.
Dude, you hit 3 for 3 right there. I love all three of those. And in that step, that's a progression. They're popular. They're marketable. I love all three.
Yeah, and then you get into the title picture once again. Maybe Wilder's still out there. I'm telling you, Wilder versus Joshua is still incredibly marketable.
Man, they can continue losing. They're always going to be marketable. Yeah. They're going to be the version of Ricardo Mayorga and Fernando Vargas.
I hope they're better than that.
No.
Mayorga, at least.
They sold their first fight pay-per-view. They sold their rematch in pay-per-view. They were both washed, and they still filled out
the stadium. How come you never fought Ricardo Mayorga?
They were a little bit out of my age group. But Vargas, Mayorga.
Mayorga would fight you right now.
De La Hoya, they were just a little out of my age group. But yeah, I would love to have fought them.
Still be a good fight. This past weekend, we saw two young heavyweights in action on the Top Rank card. Jared Anderson, first fight in, I believe, 8 months, 10 months, something like that. He had been dealing with an injury issue. And Richard Torres Jr., I should say, the ex-US Olympian, fighting in, I believe, his third professional fight. Top Rank's high on both these guys. They're both getting a lot of work, got a lot of TV exposure. Of those two, in terms of brighter, bigger upside, brighter future, who do you like?
Well, am I speaking like a promoter and a manager, or am I speaking like
speaking like Sergio Mora?
No, because you said who's more marketable, right?
You said
marketable. You didn't ask me who's the better fighter.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. All right, so let's do it this way. Latin Snake Promotions, that now defunct company that you still have a check in your wallet carrying around
from. It's my corporation. No. I'm incorporated, man.
It's Latin Snake Promotions. If you were running Latin Snake Promotions and you were picking a fighter of those two, and you could choose between either one of them, who would you take?
It's an S-Corp. All right. Okay. That's how I write off a lot of my drinking and dinners.
So it is money laundering.
I'm going to go with Richard Torres Jr., man.
Really?
Yeah, you know why? Because one, he's an Olympian. So Olympians always have an easier way to the top. Two, he's Latino in a heavyweight division. That's unheard of. Look, if I'm going to go just on ABC, who I think has the better talent, I think it's Anderson. I watch him fight 12-0, 12 knockouts. Who doesn't like power? Who doesn't like ability? Yeah, he's from Ohio, I believe. So you know that he grew up boxing some of the best fighters and amateurs. But Torres won, what, a silver medal?
Yeah, in the Olympics.
Olympian, but he's short. He's not going to make it as a heavyweight.
That's the thing.
He's not going to make it as a heavyweight, but he's going to sell.
There's really no option. He's 220-ish pounds, so he's a heavyweight. Unless you want to go in the Bridgerweight division, try to win a title there. You know.
I think that's the best bet for him right now.
Instead
of him getting knocked out by a big heavyweight, 6'6" plus, how about just win that Bridgerweight championship? Consider yourself a legitimate champion. Market yourself out.
Consider yourself a legitimate champion in a made-up weight class that only one sanctioned body, you know, considers real.
It's a legitimate championship with sanction and the right belts out there. So yeah, I don't care.
You just love the WBC.
It's watered down, but it's an official.
It's not watered down. It was literally made up last year.
It's an official division now, right? Bridgerweight?
Yeah, because the WBC created it.
Well, they made
a belt. And like Oscar Rivas, I think.
25 years from now, no one's going to care about Bridgerweight being a fake debunked weight station between heavyweight and cruiserweight. Yeah, no one doesn't care.
Cruiserweight used to be a weight station.
So Richard Torres could be a pioneer.
Right, why do you like him though? I've watched his fights and he's got some power. He fought a complete stiff in his last time out.
I like him because he was all over the place in his last fight. He made it everywhere. I don't care who he fought. It's the fact that he planted this guy on his face. It was everywhere.
Okay.
Everyone was talking about it. That's how you make yourself popular. The fact that you can build your success of being an Olympian, a U.S. Olympian, the fact that you're Latino in a division where Latinos aren't really
that's true. Like Andy Ruiz really around made a name for himself. Mexican Rocky, as you love to dub him.
Hey, I'm the one that gave him
the love
that.
Of God,
I gave him the moniker.
No, I
forever want credit for that. Mexican Rocky
forever. All right, great.
And Richard Torres Jr.
said before somewhere.
And Richard Torres Jr. I'm gonna make one up for him if he ever gets to that point too, because he'll be popular.
I like Jared Anderson, though. More skilled.
Oh, he's more
stronger.
Skilled.
I think he's got a bigger upside than Torres. For the same reason you just said. Like, Torres, I think, is a little bit too small. He's like, what, 6'3", 220-ish pounds, you know, 30 years. And somebody said to me, replied to me on Twitter, like, well, Usyk's only that big. Usyk's special. Like, you can be 6'3", 220 if you're Alexander Usyk and you have the talent level. I just don't think Torres has that. He's good, but he's not great. Anderson's a huge puncher. A big guy. What's he, 6'6", big guy. Big puncher, charismatic too, so I think he's going to have a lot of success as Top Rank builds his profile. I mean, they'll never fight each other because why would you put prospects like that against each other? But I think Anderson too is going to be on that Teofimo Lopez show in December. So he's going to get a big pop fighting after the Heisman ceremony.
If Anderson continues knocking out everyone they put in front of him, he's going to make a name for himself really quick. The reason Torres is already making a name for himself is because of that knockout and the fact that he's an Olympian. And the fact that, you know, he's a Latino in a division where there's no Latinos. So that's always going to be a marketing push there. But overall, yes, I agree with you. Anderson has the better tools. He has the size of a heavyweight. And he has more longevity and more money to make in the heavyweight division because he's going to last longer. He's going to be able to fight with the big boys.
You know, Torres looks like Miles Teller in Top Gun 2. Didn't you watch Top Gun 2?
No.
Why?
Because I don't like remakes that are...
It's not a remake. It's a sequel.
Top Gun.
Sequel.
Part 1 with Tom Cruise.
Yes. Part 2 has Tom Cruise.
Iceman.
Yes.
No.
Iceman's also in Part 2.
I like the originals, man.
Okay. This is not a remake. It's not, you know, Point Break.
How old is Tom Cruise? He's probably older 60. Than Luis Ortiz.
He might be the same age. Last thing for you before we get to some questions. Devin Haney is having himself a day or a week on social media. He's been pushing back or clapping back at everyone saying doesn't belong on the pound for pound list. He even went at our pal Dougie Fisher over at Ring Magazine.
Oh, I love
Dougie,
that.
Dougie
He's
said,
like, send it back, man.
Dougie said, if you don't like the Ring Magazine belt, for context here, this all kickstarted when Devin Haney read the Ring pound for pound rankings and he wasn't in it. And he said, I'm not going to fight for the ring belt. Dougie Fisher said, send it back. And then it became a back and forth between those two. I mean, I like Devin Haney a lot. I know you do too. I think he's got pound for pound talent, but you don't get on a pound for pound list by beating one guy. And you can't claim you've cleaned out the division when you beat one guy to get all those belts. I mean, look, he did the right thing fighting Kambosos. He got a paycheck. He'll get another one in October when he goes back to Australia. But to me, to get on a pound-for-pound list, you've got to beat Vasily Lomachenko. You've got to beat Tank Davis. You've got to beat Ryan Garcia. You need two or three quality wins to get on that list. And people have said, well, Lomachenko lost to Teofimo. Lomachenko's got a whole bunch of good wins. The resumes just don't compare. Lomachenko's resume is just a lot better right now than Devin Haney. He's got the talent for it in my mind, but I don't think he's quite there yet.
So basically you're asking me a question when you already answered yourself.
Well, I went first this time.
Man, that is, who does that? Who asks a question and you answer it? And what am I here for? What's that, rhetorical?
I don't know what,
you're
no,
being
it's not
rhetorical?
A rhetorical question. I just answered the question first.
Soliloquy is
that's
the word.
That's not, you've said soliloquy. Would you stop saying soliloquy on DAZN? You say that all the time. This
it's,
is soliloquy.
It's like you're talking
you're getting
to
it
yourself.
Wrong every time.
You love the sound of your voice. What
yes,
am I here for?
I do.
What am I here for if you're not, you're asking me a question and you answer it?
All right, here's the question, Sergio, you dumbass.
Thank you.
Does Devin Haney belong on the pound for pound list?
I'm with you, no.
Hell.
No, I agree. And here's the reason why. I'm going to give you some facts, though.
Okay.
Just the reason, the fact that I don't think Shakur Stevenson is top 10 either. I think
I disagree with that.
I think
ahead.
They're 11 and 12. And here, I'm going to make my point, Mannix. Seniority. Hear me out. Seniority, man. You know that everyone in the top 10 is over 30 years old, except Inoue, who's 29. Every other nine, I already looked it up. So
okay.
They're all over 30. You know why? Seniority. Because that matters. The fact that how not only your accomplishments, but who knows you? How long did it take you to get there? That seniority, man, it exists in jobs and careers, and it exists in boxing. Devin Haney's not top 10. Shakur's not top 10 in my book because of that. Not because they didn't accomplish anything. I mean, who do you take off? Josh Taylor? Look at who he fought in his last five fights. Undefeated fighters.
Josh Taylor belongs on that list. I agree.
Absolutely. I don't take him out. I don't take out.
I took Bivol off.
If anyone's going to come off, it's Bivol. But Bivol just beat the number one fighter in the world. So now I'm going to take him off. So they're number 11, number 12. And they have to understand that they got a lifetime to catch up. They're 23 years old. Let these big dogs that are 30 plus finish their career.
I think
the questions
are more the back end of the pound for pound, right? So like looking at the ring list right now, they've got Bivol at 7, Josh Taylor at 8, Jermell Charlo at 9, Beterbiev at 10. I think Charlo belongs. I think Josh Taylor belongs. I don't put Bivol on there yet, and I don't put Beterbiev on there yet. I think both those guys need one
Better
more quality win.
Unified champion, 100% knockout ratio.
Okay, but
beast.
Devin. So Virgil Ortiz has 100% knockout ratio. 30. Devin Haney's a pound for pound, or is the undisputed
Ortiz
champion.
Ortiz is not a champion yet. Better be if his unified champion. What's the other one?
I'm saying Devin Haney is 135 pound undisputed. So are you saying he should be on the list or no?
No, he shouldn't. He's right outside of it, 11 or 12. Like I said, because I'm not going to take out Josh Taylor. I'm not going to take out Bivol, and I'm not going to take off, who was the other one that you said?
Josh, Beterbiev was Beterbiev.
And I certainly is not. I'm not going to take out Beterbiev. That'll probably be my number 10, Beterbiev.
Yeah.
And guess what? He's what, 37 years old? Seniority, Mannix. It matters.
Yes, it does matter because you're old. All right, let's jump into some of these Instagram questions that we got for this. Let's start with Mike. Will Tank Davis fight a top 15 guy in December?
Am I getting paid overtime for
yes,
this?
Yes, you are.
What was the question?
Wilt.
Will Tank
will
Davis
Tank Davis fight a top 15 guy in December? That's what he's scheduled to return.
Of course not. Come on, man. Tank Davis is already who he is. They're promoting him to make money, not promoting him to be great. And you got to appreciate that as a businessman. You got to appreciate the fact that this kid doesn't mind making millions of dollars fighting, you know, people that aren't on the championship level. He's knocking them out. He's popular. He's a millionaire. And Mayweather promotion is, you know, they're going in the right direction.
Okay, As a fan. I hate when you do this.
I hate
when you divide yourself into three parts, like fan, boxer, promoter. Like, just be yourself. Answer the question.
I am being myself. And I said, no, he's not gonna fight it.
Well, I think Isak Cruz fights this weekend. Certainly possible he fights Isak Cruz in a rematch that nobody really wants to see. I don't know who else is out there between 130 and 140 pounds for him. Like, it's not a big section of weight classes for PBC. And it's just a bad look. Like, the Ryan Garcia negotiations are dead. They've moved on. Ryan's moved on. Everybody's moved on. I don't believe that fight.
And that's the reason people get upset with Garcia, because they think that he cries wolf a lot. You know, the fact, I'll do
he
this,
cried
I'll do
wolf?
That. What would he
you
call
that? You hear Tank Davis? Like, he's not calling anybody out.
No, the fact that that Garcia is willing to fight Tank Davis and saying, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. But then it never happens. It's not his fault.
No, it's not his fault. It's not his fault.
It's just the politics and the business of the game. But I love the fact that he's doing that. Tank Davis is not doing it. Tank Davis is not calling anyone out. He never says, I want this, man. I want that one. Devin Haney does. Ryan Garcia
does. So should you? Should Tank Davis be calling guys out?
Yeah, because you know what? At this point of his career, even though everything's going good for him, people want more than that. They want a hero. You know, they want someone to, you know, they get it inspired by. And then he's not inspiring anyone at this point. He's making a lot of money, and selfishly, he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But if you're in it to be great, then you got to satisfy the fans as well.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Julio asks, what percentage you put on Crawford Spence being made by the end of the year and why? I'm getting more and more skeptical, Sergio, as time goes on. We're recording this on September 1st. I checked in with somebody involved in those talks who said, look, they're getting close, but the stuff that they are stuck on, they're really stuck on. And now we're into September. The target date is November 19th. So what do you think? Like, it's got to be at least by mid-September you have a deal, right? Like, you've got to, if you're looking at 2 months, you need a full 2 month training camp for a fight like that, to build up a fight like that. Like, you probably got a couple weeks for this fight to get made, and I don't think it does at this point. Unless something changes, I think Spence moves on and fights Keith Thurman, and Terrence Crawford, I don't know where he goes. So I hope I'm wrong, because that's one of the biggest fights you can make in boxing. But, you know, here we are in September after all the reporting that they were getting close, and we're still not ready to say that fight's going to happen.
I gave up on that fight. I don't think it happens this year. I just don't think it happens. I think
it never happens.
I don't know about never. It just doesn't happen this year. And
Spence moves up, probably.
And it's a shame, because we're not going to get two of the best fighters in the world, you know, fight for all the marbles in their prime. You know, one of them is going to go off maybe, you know, start getting touched up, lose a fight. Then they're going to come back and fight. And it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be, you know, like a Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, you know, both undefeated welterweight beast champions, you know, knocking out, you know, everybody they put in front of you as far as the it's not going to be that. It's not going to be a Shane Mosley versus Oscar De La Hoya. You know, great fighters in their prime. It's not going to be that. So they're already in the 30s. You're in their 30s. And the fact that, you know, it's taken this long, people get tired of it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm tired of it. Yeah, I don't want to hear about it. If that fight doesn't get made in 2 months, I give up. I don't care about that fight anymore.
I still care, but I'm skeptical it ever would happen. Zeke asks, and I'll put this to you because I'm tired of talking about it. What's next for Demetrius Andrade, and do you agree with his decision to vacate the WBO middleweight strap?
Andrade needs to fight somebody. He needs to actually, if he really, really wants to be relevant against the big dogs, he needs to take little money for a big risk, which is a total opposite of what I've been preaching for 20 years. You want the minimum risk to make the most amount of money. But nah, not with Andrade. If he really wants to be great, he has to flip that. You know, he needs to take one of these big fights, a dangerous fight for a little money, for less money, just not even knock him out, just wipe the floor with him, embarrass a guy like that, move on to the next one. If you can do something like that, then I think they're going to be forced to look his way, the champions in his weight division.
I think the Zach Parker fight, which is what they're talking about,
does nothing for him.
No, but it's the right thing to do, because it's for that interim WBO title at 168.
It's not, man. That's just another.
What do you want?
Another Walter Katadakwa.
Name who he should fight then.
Benavidez.
At what? And take like $100,000?
And take $100,000 to
you
fight
wouldn't
Benavidez.
Do that.
That's what he needs to do. What did I just say?
Okay,
he
but
needs
you
to take
do that.
A big risk.
Would you do
but
that?
Low, that's how that if he wants to become great, if he wants a Canelo fight, if he wants a Golovkin fight, that's what he needs to do. He needs to take a big risk for a little bit of change.
It's like
if
you had a chance to fight for the undisputed middleweight championship and you left some money on the table to do it.
Lou DiBella, if he would have given me $200,000 more, I would have fought Jermaine Taylor.
You would have won.
Shout out, Lou.
You would have won. Last question for you, and I'm trying to find, I just lost it right here. Is Sergio mad that Anderson...
Yes!
That,
well, I'm always mad.
Is Sergio mad...
The best, man.
Can I get this out, please? Is Sergio mad that Anderson Silva got the Jake Paul fight and he did not?
No, I'm not, because Anderson Silva is a legend, and I'm not... You know, I'm nowhere near.
You are not.
I'm a legend in my own mind. Spider Anderson Silva, I don't follow the MMA, but I follow him. He's a beast. He's a legend. Him and GSP could have taken the Jake Paul fight, and I wouldn't hate. But I can't hate on Jake Paul either. That's mastermind on his part. He's going to fight another 40-year-old someone, but this time he's going to get his ass whooped.
You think Anderson Silva whoops his ass?
I think Silva embarrasses him.
Anderson Silva's claim to legitimacy as a boxer.
He went the distance with Chavez.
He did, but it's Chavez who...
You're telling me that Jake Paul is better than Chavez?
Chavez was
on his worst day. Chavez Jr. is better than Jake Paul.
Okay, but Chavez had some tough go of it lately. Like, he's had some... I think he had a draw in one... Or no, he had a loss against some stumble bum that he lost to Anderson Silva.
But he's a fighter with over 45 professional fights and a former champion.
Anderson Silva, like 40-something now? Like, I think Jake Paul beats him. Oh. I do. He's just younger, fresher, more polished as a boxer, if you can believe that. I think he beats him.
Anderson Silva and Luis Ortiz, their age.
Ageless.
They're ageless. No one knows.
Ageless. Well, now look, now you got KSI in the mix for you to potentially fight. You got lots of YouTubers out there.
Listen, KSI, Jake Paul, Logan Paul, I'll fight all three of them in one night. Just like KSI did those two bums, I'll fight three of these bums in the same night. And I'll commentate the fight before.
How much kinesio tape would that take between fights to like get you ready for that next
one? I went 10 rounds today.
That's great.
With a punching bag.
Wow. With a punching bag. Great. That's fantastic. Good for you. All right, Sergio, we're done here. When we come back, my conversation with Andy Ruiz. FanDuel wants you to be ready for game day when college football kicks off this week. Right now, new customers can get $150 in free bets guaranteed for week one. Just place a $5 bet and you can get $150 in free bets, win or lose. You can create a parlay with your favorite bets. You can jump into the action with live betting or bet with big promotions like odds boosts. Go for it all with national championship futures as well. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the time to give it a shot. You listeners out there have been doing a lot of boxing betting with me. Keep it going with college football. And FanDuel is now live in Kansas. So if you're not just betting boxing, bet on college football with us as well. The app is so easy to use. They're always hooking you up with great odds. And when you win, you'll get paid fast. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel app today and sign up with promo code BOXING and place a $5 bet to get $150 in free bets guaranteed to kick off the college football season. That's promo code BOXING. All right, Andy Ruiz is the former unified heavyweight champion. On Saturday, he is back when he takes on Luis Ortiz. That's a fight you can watch on Fox Sports pay-per-view. And Andy, first fight in close to 20 months. So I guess my question is, where you been, man?
Well, from the last fight with Chris Arreola, I had to get knee surgery, and I took some time off, and I took another little bit of time off just to be with the family, just to relax and, you know, get where I want to be at, you know. And through all that time, I was just focusing on what I want to accomplish. And what do I want to accomplish? I want to become a two-time heavyweight champion of the world. And that's exactly what we're aiming for. We had a long training camp. We picked the hard opponent, Luis Ortiz. Like I said, I like taking chances. I like a hard fight. So that's exactly what we're going to get on September 4th.
So when did that click for you? When did you decide, look, I got to get back in. I got to try to become a champ once again.
I feel every fighter needs to have a break, man. It doesn't matter who you are or how long you want to become champions. Every fighter needs a little break for themselves and for their family, because now you start thinking differently, you know? When was it of last year? That's when I said to myself, you know what? I could do it, man. I did it one time. I could do it again. I became a champion. I'm going to become a champion again. All I'm missing is that WBC belt to add to my collection, you know? So I put myself and I said, you know what? I'm going to give it all I got. I'm still young. I'm not hurt or nothing. So, and what do you know? I'm aiming for that WBC belt. I want it so bad. I want to become a two-time heavyweight champion of the world. And, you know, and I'm still mad because I gave my belts away with Anthony Joshua in the rematch because I did not do the right things that I was supposed to do. But we're focused now, man.
Yeah, what, you know, Anthony Joshua, we all saw back in late August, he lost to Alexander Usyk for the second time. As someone that started this run for Anthony Joshua five fights earlier for him, what were you thinking when you watched Joshua lose again?
I kind of knew that Usyk was going to win, man, just because of his style. He's a counterpuncher. He waits until they load up, and then he goes in there. It was kind of devastating because I was like, man, that could have been me. That could have been me again. So it kind of gave me more motivation just to show up and show out on September 4th here in the Crypto Arena because, like I said, I felt like I gave those belts away because of my non-discipline. But things changed now, you know. That's why it's good to have a long layoff to reminisce and to think exactly what you want to do in life. And I'm still young. And, you know, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to conquer and we're going to get that WBC belt.
Do you think that you changed Anthony Joshua? Because the numbers, Andy, suggest, I mean, they suggest that he has become a much more cautious fighter in terms of throwing more jabs, not being as aggressive with power shots since his fight with you.
I think so, man. And a lot of people have been telling me, and even in the Usyk fight, I had so many messages on my phone, on Instagram, saying like, man, Anthony Joshua's not the same ever since he fought you. And yeah, he's a little bit more cautious. He hesitates too much to throw his combinations, but I think he just has trouble with counterpunchers. And, you know, things happen, but like I said, maybe he needs a break. Maybe he needs a little layoff where he gets to relax and not be too focused on fights. You know, I think they have him as like he has to fight like a slave. You know, I feel he needs to just relax and take time and just focus on what he really wants.
Yeah. And maybe fight outside the UK. I think getting away from the hoopla of being Anthony Joshua in Great Britain is probably would be good for him as well. You are returning in this fight with Alfredo Osuna in your corner. Last fight, you had Eddie Reynoso. I've heard you talk about this, Andy, about leaving Eddie for this fight, but I'm still not entirely sure why at this point. What was the fundamental reason why you made this change from Eddie Reynoso to Alfredo Osuna?
I think right now he has a lot under his plate. You know, I think Canelo has a really big, important fight as well with Triple G and in 2 weeks. So I feel it was too close. So I feel I needed to get somebody to help me out, to give me 100% of their time. And, you know, especially making my own gym as well. I didn't make it just for me. I made it for my fighters as well, because Canelo's gym is private. They don't want just anybody to go out there and train, you know, and I respect that. And I respect everything that they've done for me. And, but I'm not saying that I won't go back or they wouldn't help me at all, but I feel like I needed to make this change for me and for my team.
You know, it's funny hearing you say that, because it sounds almost exactly like what Ryan Garcia said a couple of years ago. Now, there was more negativity around that at the time, but he also wanted more attention. He also wanted his own gym. Does it feel like kind of the same thing?
Not really, because they did give me their time. They did give me we kind of bonded more, you know, but it feels I needed my fighters as well. You know, they needed their time too. So that's why I got Alfredo Osuna to help me, and especially my fighters, because I'm trying to help them out, man. They're trying to change their lives as well. Just like how they gave me the opportunity, I'm trying to give them the opportunity as well. And being stuck there and not, having their different rules and all that it wasn't going to do nothing for them. But yeah, they had the time for me and all that, but I needed to do what's best for my fighters as well. And that was opening up a gym, getting a different trainer and having them help them out.
So your last fight, against Chris Areola. Give me kind of a letter grade that you would give yourself in that fight.
I think it was a C minus. A C minus because I've kind of focused too much on losing weight, trying to be the part instead of trying to look the part instead of being the part. So I think that was one of my downfalls that I did in my last fight. But now I'm at the same weight that I fought Anthony Joshua. I feel good. I feel explosive. And I feel God made me a champion being husky and chubby. So why change it?
That's it. You know, it's funny because your weight has been like central to any discussion about you your entire career. I mean, I remember Bob Arum at Top Rank talking about weight clauses in your contracts. I mean, has your mindset about your weight and how much you're worried, has that changed in the last year or so?
Yeah, it did now, man. Ever since how I felt in my last fight, I feel I got to get back to where I made history, and that's being a chunky boy, just following his dreams and making it come true, you know? And I feel explosive. I feel fast, especially I could take punches from bigger guys carrying that weight. So I feel it's an advantage of me being husky and chubby for me to fight these big guys.
I swear, I'll give you like $1,000 if you make that your Twitter bio. A chunky guy following his dreams. That's a great tag for social media.
I'm gonna give you my bell for those $1,000 then right now.
maybe not. So you look into this fight with Luis Ortiz, who has been the boogeyman of the division for a while now. A little bit demystified after the Wilder losses. Got the win against Charles Martin. I mean, what kind of matchup is this for you? How tough a fight is this for you?
It's a tough fight, you know, because he has a different awkward style, you know. He's not an awkward style like Usyk that's lefty, that moves around and all that, but he's a hard-hitting guy. And a lot of people are scared of him, and this is exactly why we wanted to pick a good opponent that's going to be – that this is what the fans wanted, and this is exactly what I'm giving them, you know. We knew that we're going to take some risks. We know it's going to be a challenging fight, but I'm up to the task. And the way that we've been training, I'm confident and I'm motivated, and I know I'm going to get this victory.
So do you look at the pathway to this WBC title? It starts with Luis Ortiz. Does it continue with Deontay Wilder if Wilder can get through his fight in October?
It could happen, you know. First, I got to focus on Luis Ortiz, win this fight. And Deontay Wilder, that's the easiest fight that could be made right now between me and him, because me and him are both under the same organization. So I feel that fight could be easily made the end of this year or the beginning of next year. But if I get an opportunity to fight for the WBC belt or with Usyk, of course, we're going to take that to become a two-time heavyweight champion.
No question. Just last thing for you. Are you curious to see what Wilder has left? I mean, I was at the press conference in New York this week. Helenius, a good opponent, but I think a really high-level Deontay Wilder should win. Are you, as someone that knocked off an undefeated fighter and changed his career, are you curious to see what Wilder has left?
I do, and I feel the whole world does, because coming out of his devastating loss against Tyson Fury, we want to see how he comes back, or if his legs are still there, if his still state of mind is still there. You know, it's hard losing a fight and having to get back up to have that same momentum and having that same eager to still become great. But you know, With God, anything is possible, and I feel like he's going through the right path, and he found Jesus, and maybe you know, things will go good for him.
Well, it's good to have you back, Andy. First up, September 4th against Luis Ortiz. Hope to see you in some big fights over this next year or so, man. Good luck to you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
When we come back, former NBA player turned boxer Nick Young.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cameron Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcast. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Nick Young is a 12-year NBA veteran. On September 10th, he will make his boxing debut when he takes on rapper Blueface at the Social Gloves No More Talk show. That's at the Banc of California Stadium in Los Angeles. And Nick, let's start right here. What the hell are you doing? Why are you, Nick Young, doing this?
Really, I went in there with, you know, a good friend of mine, Demetrius, took me to the boxing gym, and I just fell in love with it. And then, you know, they got to talking and said, I bet you won't get in the ring with somebody. And then that carried on and carried on. And now, it's, you know, if you look up, you'll be here. So, and once I, like, you know, Nate Robertson, Darren Williams, I started seeing it get kind of popular. I just wanted to try it out.
Well, I want to get to Nate, who it did not go well for, and Darren, who it did go well for. Also, Lamar Odom in that mix, another ex-Laker like yourself. That's a work in progress, I guess, still. When did you pick up boxing? You said you kind of got the itch after picking it up. When did the boxing start for you?
Last summer. I just went in trying to get, like, some conditioning. Just trying to stay in shape a little bit, you know, when you not doing nothing, I didn't want to get fat, you know, I still like to look good in the clothes. I went in there conditioning it. Next thing you know, one thing led to another.
So tell me how the idea or the this concept of fighting Blueface came together. How did you, was it offered to you? Did you pursue it? How did it all come together?
Well, it was a little bit of both. It started off well. It was, you know, me being in the gym and they saying, when I fight this dude, when I fight that dude, and, you know, my trainer and Demetrius, my manager was telling me, would you fight Blueface? I was like, yeah, I fight Blueface. Would he fight me? Yeah. You know, they hit up Wack, his manager, Wack 100. I didn't think it was going to happen because, you know, he weighed, you know, a lot less than me. So I didn't think he was going to fight somebody a little heavier than him. So, but, you know, to his credit, he's not backing down.
So when you talk to people you knew in basketball, ex-teammates or whatever, their reaction? Because Nick, I've covered the NBA for 20 years now. And let me tell you, every time I tell people that you're doing this, they say, Nick Young's doing what?
They're brutal. They're brutal. All my ex-teammates, KD, hit me. You better be training. You better not let us down. Watch out for this. Why are you doing this? Come on, Nick. You can't turn into Nate Robinson. I'm like, oh, man. They don't give me no confidence. You know, they just tell me, they put more pressure on me. For sure. I can't lose. That's all I hear. You better not lose. You better represent for the NBA. So
who's putting the most pressure on you?
Once I walk out this door, you know, whoever I see, really, like I run into Kenyon Martin at my son's school, you know, you better throw them hands. You better be practicing. You can't come to this school, can't come back to the school with your kids if you lose. Like it's just whoever I see that day, really, you know. The Marcus Cousins the other day at Draymond Green was just talking and talking, you know. So it's just whoever I run into.
Now Kenyon Martin and DeMarcus Cousins, I could see them getting in a boxing ring, maybe against each other. I could see them doing it.
that would be a good matchup. That's funny, yeah.
So you mentioned Nate Robinson, and that's got to be the fear, right? Like, Nate got in with Jake Paul. He got knocked out brutally and became like a meme for 6 months. Like, how much is that in your mind as you go into this?
That's the tough part because, you know, Nate haven't been the same since, and that's what on my mind. Dang, he haven't bounced back. You don't hear from him no more. And that's something that stays in the back of your mind, you know. You don't want to be a meme. You don't want to be known for been playing basketball all your life, and now Nate is known for the guy that got knocked out, you know. So, but nobody says nothing about the basketball no more. They just talk about how he got knocked out by Jake. So it's tough.
Slam dunk champion, played like a decade in the NBA, overcame all things because of size, and he's now the guy that got knocked out by Jake. You're right. You're 100% right.
So that's tough, you know. And, you know, I know people love to crack jokes on me, so I know I'll be right there with them. So I set myself up for things like this. So hopefully, you know, I'm just going to come out on top, though.
You are a target. You're right about that, yeah. Nick. how prepared are you for this? Like, what kind of boxer are we going to see?
You know, I'm a little I'm more prepared than people think. You know, I like to move around in the ring. You know, I've been doing this for a while, so I'm not just going to come in here being wild and throw wild punches, you know. So I'm going to shock a couple people, basically, you know, because people used to be just smiling on the court, having fun all the time. So this is different, you know, so. That's why I'm doing this to shock a little. The shock value is more important for me.
Do you have any idea what to expect from Blueface?
You know, I've seen him fight. You know, only thing I say, he's a little more. He had a fight already, so he know what to expect walking into the ring, the environment, and all that. So I think that's probably the only thing that, you know, gets to me. But once I'm in the ring, I don't want to get hit, so, you know, all that's out the back of my mind.
Yeah, as a basketball player, you've played in hostile environments, big moments, but how do you think you're going to feel making a ring walk for your first time?
I go over it in my mind all the time, so I get nervous now, but just because I'm by myself, you know, on the court, you know, I got my teammates, you can hide out a little bit, you know. A bad play here is only going to get on a not top 10 for a day or so, you know, and it ain't something that's going to be, you know, your legacy, you know, you got knocked out by this. So, but, you know, I think I'm just going to have fun. You know, I think you got to take chances, and that's why, you know, you never know unless you just, you know, go through the fire. So that's what I'm going to do it for.
So do you look at this as a one-time thing for you, or if you're successful, would we see you back in future fights?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's what I'm doing it for. I want to see how far I can go with it. You know, so if once I win a couple fights and then I lose down the road, you know, it's not as bad as losing your first fight, you know, because I won a couple. So I just got to get this one out the way. And, you know, I might be fighting Darren Williams soon. I don't know.
Wow. Have you approached Darren? I don't think Darren's all that motivated to fight again. I've talked to him about this. I don't think he wants back in.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I saw you on social media. You're calling out KSI for Austin McBroom. Like, you're getting into this, man. Like, you're all in.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. You know, once you get in the mix and, you know, you on people's side, you go to people's camps, you know, you interact with, you know, these YouTube guys, you know, they really like it. They really like boxing, you know, they really take it serious. And after watching that last fight, they host KSI host, it was pretty good, you know, it's pretty good. So people got knocked out. So,
KSI's not bad. Like, I don't know. I mean, Jake is kind of the top of the YouTube boxing class, but KSI is starting to show some things, you know, maybe he could be a little bit real.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And that's the fun of it, you know. See, he's gonna be the king of the crop.
So, how much are you going to weigh on fight night?
Oh, fight night. Hopefully, I get to between 210 and 215.
So you'll be a heavyweight, basically.
Yeah.
And how you're gonna outweigh Blueface pretty significantly, right?
Yeah. I think about 175, 170.
So this is, I mean, that's a pretty big size disparity.
It is, man. That's why I was shocked when, you know, but he's been training, so he's been talking trash. You know, he's been fighting every day, really, in the ring and outside the ring, you know.
So you said you want to see how far you can take this. Like, what does that mean? Like, do you want to just keep fighting YouTube guys? Do you eventually want to try your skills against a quote unquote real fighter?
That's the goal. That's the goal. They get to that, but I don't know, because I don't see myself fighting the heavyweight because they hit harder than most people. So I'm gonna have to lose a little more weight.
I mean, cruiserweights hit pretty hard too, Nick. I gotta tell you. They can crack.
Sure.
So we were talking about your NBA, you know, guys you talk to in the NBA, but like, is there an NBA player you'd like to get into the ring someday?
Oh, of course, you know, D'Lo, D'Angelo.
Yeah, that was the easy one. I think that was, everyone was waiting for that one.
Yeah, that's the easy one, but, I don't know, you know, a couple of my teammates probably, some guys on the Warriors, some guys on the Lakers, a couple of coaches, Luke Walton, right?
I will tell you, Luke Walton, get Luke Walton in the ring. How would that go?
I think I got the advantage of that. I think I'll win that one. That'd be easy. That'd be a first round.
I tell you what, I think you could make, and I think most people would agree, you could make a lot of money fighting D'Angelo Russell. I think there'd be interest in Los Angeles in that.
For sure. Yeah, so that's the goal right there. I doubt he'd do it.
I doubt it too. But how would a fight between you and D'Angelo Russell go?
Oh man, that'd be It'd be like some Mike Tyson status. You know how Mike Tyson fights with it. First round. First 8 seconds. It's a lot of built up anger, you know, so
yeah, I've seen you in the last couple of years still throwing some social media stuff out there.
Yeah, here and there, you know. That's when you see stuff. Yeah.
last thing I want to ask you is, you know, you mentioned you don't want to be a meme, but you are the king of NBA memes already. Like, you are still the king of NBA memes. What is Nick Young's favorite meme of Nick Young?
Oh, I don't know. It's a toss up. My son's is the when I missed the three and turned around.
That's mine.
I'm at the gym with kids does that. So I think that's the kid's favorite, but like, a lot of people know me as the mean guy, the face that do the question mark. Everybody, are you the question mark guy? So I get both of them. So yeah.
What were the miss three? What do you remember about that moment? And did you think that was going to become one of the most iconic memes on Twitter?
Oh, I didn't. Because at the time, Shaq and the Fool was pretty hot. He was killing everybody. So I knew it was going to be on Shaq and the Fool. But I really didn't think about it because I had made like three threes beforehand. So that's why I was in the moment. But that night, it was just like, dang, okay. Well, it was fun. It was funny. I liked it. You know, it's, you know, they say all good press ain't, all bad press ain't bad, you know, so.
How often do you still see that meme pop up on your social media feed?
Man, at least it, once a month, for sure. I see somebody just sending me a story of them doing it, or they send me a picture or something, you know, so somebody posts something to tag me. So it just, at least once a month for sure. And it happened so long ago. That's the crazy part.
Well, Nick, I hope you do not become a meme on September 10th. I hope you have success there, man, because you know the whole NBA is watching. Like, there's a whole league watching to see what happens to Nick Young.
For sure. So thank you.
When we come back, this week's picks brought to you by FanDuel. Time now for this week's picks brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. And this week, I am locked in on the heavyweight fight between Andy Ruiz and Luis Ortiz, a true crossroads matchup in Los Angeles on Saturday night. Now, Andy Ruiz has been installed at a -430 favorite, according to FanDuel. And I like Ortiz to win. Yes, Ortiz has been off for a while, has not fought since May of 2021 when he beat Chris Arreola. Yes, Andy Ruiz will be working with his third trainer in as many fights now that Eddie Reynoso is not working with him for this fight. And yes, Luis Ortiz, even though he didn't look great in his win over Charles Martin in January, is experienced, is powerful, still has enough pop to knock you out. But I think Ruiz has the chin to stand up to the best punches of Ortiz. And I think his skill level at this stage of his career is just higher. So I think he is the better fighter. I think he wins this fight. Now, the method of victory is where you have a chance to make some money here. Ruiz by knockout is -110. I don't really get that. Ruiz is not this big, heavy puncher. Yeah, he stopped Anthony Joshua, but he hit him perfectly on the temple to change the course of that fight in the third round. His more significant fights, I'm thinking of Joseph Parker, for example, have been decisions and have gone the distance. And I think this one goes the distance as well. And that's why you can make some cash if you bet Ruiz by decision. Ruiz is +230, according to FanDuel, to win by decision. I think that's the way this goes. I think it goes a lot like the fight against Chris Arreola, where Ruiz won a fairly lopsided decision. I think he wins this fight 8-4, maybe even 9-3. And comes away with a comfortable victory. So take Andy Ruiz to win. Take him to win by decision. Get rich. Bet with me. Those are my picks this week, brought to you by FanDuel.
That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Sergio Mora, Andy Ruiz, and Nick Young for joining the show. As always, subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. And I'll see you next week.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.